Julie?
There.
It is when it's on.
Do you want me to start over?
Okay.
I'm Julie Macedo, Senior Staff Counsel for the Office of Enforcement and Counsel for the Prosecution Team in this matter. First, I'd like to introduce the file and the presentations you just received into the administrative record. Also on the prosecution team with me is Chris Kerrigan, Senior Staff Counsel. Chris and I handle the Caltrans matters throughout the state. Kason Grady, Mona Doherty, David Leland, Luis Rivera, and Forrest Fortescue are also on the prosecution team. Why are we here? This is a significant enforcement action, both for the regional board staff who have spent so much time preparing for this hearing, and in terms of the penalty sought. You will hear from staff today that they made conservative assumptions about the number of violations and that the proposed order amount is reasonable. You'll also hear that staff is considering further enforcement since the violations arise only from the first third of the Confusion Hill project. That represents this portion of the slide. We hope that the outcome of this hearing will prevent the need for additional enforcement. You will also hear about the enormous amount of work that staff has done to document each violation, both prior to the complaint and throughout the hearing process, and the delays in bringing this matter to hearing because the staff engaged in settlement discussions with Caltrans and then both Caltrans and MCM. The violations we'll talk about today occurred in 2006 and 2007. Staff engaged in settlement discussions from 2009 until 2010, but could not resolve the matter informally. During the settlement discussions, staff encouraged Caltrans and MCM to present any additional evidence that might exonerate them or show why staff was misguided in seeking penalties. Instead, MCM and Caltrans did not provide documents or other exculpatory evidence and turned over documents only when sought through discovery late last year. The briefing you've already seen contains legal arguments from both MCM and Caltrans where they attempt to distance themselves from the observations of the biological monitors on site. On site in part because of the impaired water body affected by the Confusion Hill project, the South Fork Eel River. You'll hear legal arguments from the dischargers that the prosecution team's evidence is insufficient. The prosecution team is confident that the board will find the biological monitors and in fact dischargers' own words about site conditions and the prosecution team's arguments more persuasive about the violations that occurred during the project and the Cavaliers' cavalier attitudes toward the permits involved in this action, which are the Caltrans Stormwater Permit and the Clean Water Act Section 401 Water Quality Certification. The dischargers surely will tell you what a great project this was. You'll likely hear that there was no environmental harm. Essentially, the dischargers want to know what all the fuss is about. And in a nutshell, I'll explain the fuss. This case represents staff's frustration with Caltrans and MCM's cavalier attitude regarding permit considerations and limitations and the lack of communication with the regional board and the regulatory project process. Excuse me. You might hear how much MCM spent on environmental compliance, but you'll also hear from staff that MCM's attempts were often ineffective or after the fact. You'll see in documents that there was not agreement between Caltrans and MCM as to what is required on a project of this size and in this environmentally sensitive location. Looking at the slide now up, Caltrans is summarizing MCM's argument that the permits authorize all conduct MCM thinks is necessary, reasonable, or even simply more convenient for MCM to build the project. Caltrans disagrees and states that it expects containment measures, and so will the regional board. Caltrans in this communication reflects that the project is in an environmentally sensitive area and communicates that to MCM. And rather than communicate with the regional board to resolve issues, both Caltrans and MCM remained silent about which portion of the 401 they were ignoring, or sometimes even which discharges were reported to staff. You'll see, either today or in the written materials previously provided to you by the prosecution team, numerous examples of intentional disregard of permit conditions by MCM and Caltrans at every step of the project, including Caltrans and MCM applying their own understanding of the permits to the regulatory structure. You've seen the same attitude once before when this board issued a $20,000 order on the Confusion Hill project. MCM still denies that it committed this violation. The slide now up is a communication for MCM to Caltrans after the board issued a $20,000 fine and Caltrans intended to split it with MCM. MCM remained adamant that it had done nothing wrong and that is likely the story that the dischargers will tell you today. Every project has issues and conduct that may run afoul of the strict letter of the permits. The regional board staff always prefers prevention and mitigation rather than after-the-fact enforcement. But formal enforcement may be the only thing that can bring about a real change in attitude and compliance. This ACLC is not the result of an overly aggressive staff. Instead, the voluminous evidence reveals a pattern of disregard and ongoing nonchalance about permit compliance. As we point out in our briefs, this project involves several disagreements between MCM and Caltrans, which included Caltrans having to remove the SWPE coordinator, issue administrative retentions, and issue work stoppages. These two examples of work stoppages both occurred after the last date in the complaint currently at issue. The top quote is from June 2007, when sandblasting operations were stopped because there were not appropriate BMPs in place. The quote on the bottom is from January 2008, when grouting operations were stopped in part because cementitious material was not being contained. In January 2008, the date of the second quote, the regional board had already issued two notices of violation and a 13-267 order against this project. It is clear why staff felt formal enforcement was necessary. Email communication between Caltrans and MCM expresses Caltrans' frustration with MCM's continual and insistent disregard for environmental regulations. As you can see on this slide, Sebastian Cohen, the second resident engineer on this project, indicated that he was very close to shutting down the project entirely. He points out such problems as proper containment of oil products, oil leaks, and several projects without any containment. This slide indicates that equipment was being fueled on the river bar. The permit prohibits that. This highlighted portion indicates that discharges of oil were occurring. There were no BMPs in place, so not only was there leaky equipment, but there was not adequate ways to deal with it. Careless discarding of welding rods is occurring directly into the river. That will be a category of violation that we discuss later. The temporary sedimentation basin will be the subject of construction dewatering violations, which we'll cover. And then finally, fueling was occurring without any BMPs. Next slide. Indicated by this quote, a construction supervisor for MCM, Mr. Hamm, indicated that pumped groundwater had come into contact with wet cement and was being discharged to the ground. This was a clear violation. Caltrans was providing notice to MCM that this conduct should stop. This cementitious material discharge is one of the most egregious violations in the complaint you'll see today. You'll hear from staff that they don't always take enforcement for the type of violations in the complaint, but that previous informal enforcement through the previous ACLC and notices of violation were ineffective. In short, the project was successfully built, but at the expense of the environment and the regional board's role in protecting it. MCM and Caltrans ignored the regional board's role in interpreting and enforcing the permits and made on-the-ground decisions that were motivated by speed and profit and not environmental protection. There were often no efforts made at prevention, even though such efforts would have been simple and much cheaper than the resulting violations. The red highlighted portions indicate simple problems, and the yellow indicates Caltrans explaining to MCM that, as usual, a majority of the issues are easily achievable with only a little effort and forethought. Caltrans therefore acknowledges that it often isn't even a money issue, that BMPs sometimes require better planning and a little more effort. You'll see photographs later this morning where attempts at containment were made that were obviously ineffective that could have been easily improved. Plastic sheeting under leaky equipment that is not bermed correctly, or oil on an absorbent pad that was carelessly placed in the wrong spot. It is the board's decision to make, after reviewing all of the written evidence and hearing from staff members and dischargers' witnesses today, about an appropriate penalty. The prosecution team feels strongly that staff was right to bring this action and is right in holding its ground to make sure that the regional boards are ultimately arbiters of what the permits require. Staff will testify that the recommended liability is actually conservative, and several staff decisions led to a lower recommended penalty. And remember, this liability is only for a portion of the multi-year project, and we found evidence of additional violations that we are not able to prosecute at this hearing. As a minor procedural note, Caltrans is named in the ACLC, though the Office of Enforcement has recently begun naming both Caltrans and the contractor in administrative civil liability complaints. Caltrans and MCM will eventually have a separate proceeding to determine how much of the administrative civil liability each is responsible for. We are not here to comment on that process. We are here to determine the appropriate liability for MCM and Caltrans's conduct during the project, and whether it be MCM's casual disregard for the permits or Caltrans's failure to communicate with the regional board. As the advisory team correctly stated in its June 3rd, 2001 ruling and reflected in the board's adoption of that ruling, MCM has a significant financial stake in the outcome of this hearing, and that is why MCM is participating as a designated party. Don't let the fact that only Caltrans is named in the ACLC dissuade you from issuing a full and complete penalty. Caltrans is responsible for MCM's conduct, and the liability will be borne by both of them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.